I'm Dr. Castor Pornadelli.
And I'm Dr. Stacey Wells.
And you're listening to Sound Living, Thursday's Healthy Edition. Today on Sound Living, we'll be answering your questions, those you've sent in, emailed in, questions you'll call in today. The doctors are in on Sound Living today. Stay tuned.
The information presented on this program is informational only and is not intended for the treatment and diagnosis of any disease. Those with health conditions need to see a naturopathic physician or other licensed health care provider in person for proper diagnosis and treatment.
Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us today on Sound Living. The doctors are in. And good afternoon to you, Dr. Wells. How's it going?
Pretty well.
Good, good. Ed, how are you doing today? It's good to see you.
I'm barely getting by right now. I'm running about 45 seconds behind.
Oh, boy. get the defibrillator out. We might need to have an intervention. Well, I don't think anybody noticed until you said so, Ed. We can shave off that 45 seconds pretty quick, I think.
But I noticed.
You noticed? Okay. It's okay, Ed. I'm here to tell you. I'm a doctor. It's okay. It's all going to be fine. You don't have to worry.
You can let go of that 45 seconds.
Yeah. So, well, here we are on the radio again. I hope you're enjoying the sunny weather out there and getting some of your vitamin D. We're here to talk a little bit about health today from a naturopathic perspective, answer your health questions, cover some of the updates in the world of health and the news of health. And we also are going to share with you a little bit of information about some simple dietary changes in reducing your risk of diabetes and heart disease and stroke. So we got a lot to cover today. And is there anything exciting that's come through on your email today, Dr. Wells, now that we got your computer up and running?
Yes.
Just seconds before
air.
We had to be on the air. It's always fun to, you know, to get down to the wire before we get something done. It's kind of exciting.
Well, no, I haven't really seen any intriguing emails to share.
Nothing dramatic. We've got a lot of headlines today.
We do.
Yep, a lot of headlines. But this program is about your questions. Even though we have topics that we come in with, we really appreciate when you call, and it's about what you want to know. So you can give us a call. 425-303-9070 is the phone number.
That's 425-303-9070.
You can just burn that into your brain, put it in your speed dial, and just ask a question. You'll get Ed when you call in. You can leave your question with him, and he can transmit it to us on the screen, or you can ask your question live, which is what we prefer because that's makes it more interesting. We can give you a better answer to your question. 425-303-9070.
425-303-9070. And you can always send your questions through email as well to doctors, all spelled out, at kser.org.
So we got a headline here, Dr. Wells, from Health Day. This is, it's titled, it says, extra pounds, a deadly risk factor for black women study, and belly fat puts even more normal weight women at risk, findings show. So carrying extra weight, especially around the middle, is a risk factor for death among black women, according to a new study. And the heavier a woman is, the greater her risk of dying sooner than her normal weight peers. And I think that applies to all.
I think that has no bearing on the pigment of your skin.
I don't. So this particular study happened to be in African-American women. But certainly that does make a difference for all of us, men and women, too. The risk of death increased incrementally with rising body mass index, or BMI. Once women were above normal weight, they had an increased risk of death, said study senior author Dr. Julie Palmer, professor of epidemiology at Sloan Epidemiology Center at Boston. In addition, she said, independent of body mass index, women who had a higher waist circumference had an increased risk of death, and this finding was primarily in normal weight women. Oh, that's interesting.
Hmm.
So even if a woman is of normal weight, the increase in waist to hip circumference, or the
visceral fat.
The visceral fat, exactly.
That gets deposited on your organs.
Gets deposited on your organs. That increased risk of death. Huh. Okay. So results of the study are published in the September 8th issue of the New England Journal of Medicine. Overall, obesity and abdominal obesity are both increasing rapidly in America. It's projected by 2020 as many as 70% of black women in America will be obese, and 90% will have abdominal obesity. That's kind of scary. So, So this was from a study of 52,000 women in America, and it compared also the risk of death in white and Asian women, and it looks like that with black women it was just worse. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So socioeconomic status, smoking might of course have mitigated the effects of actual obesity on the risk of death. So again, that's from the September 8th issue of the New England Journal of Medicine. So that's not something new. And certainly with a high-carb diet, a diet that we're seeing more and more of as becoming a standard in our culture, even though it's a bad standard, the risk of a lot of diseases and death are increasing just from diet.
Definitely. And it's all preventable by choosing what you put in your mouth.
The next topic on our list is juice fasting, an unconventional liquid prescription. Dr. Douglas Hendren, a retired orthopedic surgeon, did a juice fast last December. Conventional medicine, or mainstream Western medicine, as it is often referred to in natural circles, is leery of any kind of fasting. While advocates of juice fasting say it's one of the best things you can do for your health, the American Dietitian Association and many medical doctors are critical of juice diets, claiming that juice fasts may result in vitamin deficiencies and muscle breakdown, and they have sounded the alarm over possible risks from lengthy or repeated fasts. So, what do we think about juice fasting?
In the short term, depending upon the person, it may be okay.
Okay. So I'll read what this conventional doctor who underwent it said. He says, "I was curious. I'm a conventional doctor, but I certainly know thoughtful, intelligent people who make a habit of fasting from time to time for a few days or a few weeks. We did what was considered a minimal fast, a 10-day program, and we didn't have any particular complaints." So, says Dr. Hendren, who was 60 years of age, "it was more of a health maintenance thing. The surprising thing to me was that it was quite easy. Some of my friends have gone outside of the recommendations of their physician and gone on very strenuous fasts under controlled circumstances, and they've basically been cured of conditions that otherwise would have required surgery. I can't explain it from the basic science we learned in medical school, but the book of what we don't know is the biggest book out there." Well, we certainly can agree with that one. "We discovered in the last decade, for instance, that the nervous system has a basis for regeneration and plasticity that we were told 10 years ago just didn't exist." So, well, it's kind of interesting to see that from a conventional doctor. It's nice to hear that, there's openness and interest on all sides of medicine.
You did say he was retired, though, right?
Well, just kidding. Is that what I said? Too bad. Yep. So, and it's interesting. So he goes on in the interview to say that, he points out that to research in animals that were fasted for a week experienced dramatic improvements in health and some sort of Kansas study. So,
Yeah, in all seriousness, though, I'm wondering what conditions he saw, could improve that they could avoid surgery. I mean, surely we've seen people who go on a fast and their chronic, skin condition goes away because they're not consuming the food causing it anymore. So that's just kind of curious.
Well, I would think that, just kind of reading between the lines, being an orthopedic surgeon, I would imagine that there were people who probably had chronic pain and, had some issue with the food they were consuming. And when you go on a fast, you really eliminate a lot of inflammation that occurs and you encourage the body's cleansing ability. So if there's things that have built up and your body's able to spend less of its energy on digestion and being inflamed and more of its energy on cleansing itself or on healing, then it would certainly make sense that fasting can help chronic pain conditions and and help people avoid surgery when really surgery would not have been the solution. Surgery probably would have just had no effect.
Right.
Yeah. So, I don't really think of it necessarily for my chronic pain patients, although, you know, this article is a good reminder that it might be of value. I think of it in people who have high blood pressure and obesity and, you know, migraines and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, as this conventional doctor suggests, you know, Dr. Hendren, it makes sense to think about it as other options as well. So I'm kind of interested to know, you know, who else around here has done a fast. Have you done a fast before?
Yeah.
Yeah. And was it an extended or a short one?
You know, I did kind of an extended one in school. It was kind of a requirement for our class.
You do kind of crazy things in school, yeah. Okay. Ed, have you ever participated in some sort of a fast or a cleansing?
Not to my knowledge.
Not that you're aware of?
The coffee cleanse.
Not that I'm aware. No.
Oh, okay. So never skipped meals for a full day to see what happened intentionally?
Intentionally. Well, I usually eat one meal a day anyway. So I
don't want to even hear that, Ed. I just every time you say that, it hurts me.
Well, it's true. 7 o'clock.
I don't want to know the truth.
Okay. Yes, I participate in those all of the time.
Okay. Good. Good. And have you noticed health benefits from?
Absolutely,
no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for sharing your perspective. Well, we want to hear from you too, ladies and gentlemen. If you've conducted a fast, if you've had personal experience about it, if it's created a problem for you, we want to hear, and our listeners want to know as well. Give us a call if you want to share that, or if you have a question for the doctors, 425-303-9070.
That's 425-303-9070.
Let's see here. We got another headline here. I wonder if we should go to our topic of the day.
And I have an email question from a listener.
Wait, let's hear what what does it say?
We have a question from Jean, who writes, hi, I have what is called a sluggish liver. Can you recommend a natural supplement to lower my cholesterol? Thank you. Sluggish liver.
Sluggish liver. Well, what could that mean?
It means we need to know what causes your sluggish liver. Perhaps you are, you know, in an environment where you're exposed to a lot of toxins that may be slowing down your liver function or actually damaging your liver. Perhaps you're on medications that are slowing down your liver function or actually damaging your liver. Perhaps there are foods that are causing inflammation in the body to cause high cholesterol. Perhaps you have something like hepatitis that you need to be screened for.
Mm-hmm. So are there, why don't we make it basic, though? I know she asked about a supplement, but, you know, I thought about Dr. Dirks for a minute, you know, even though she's not here. I thought, what would she say? She'd say, well, let's go back to diet. And what sorts of foods are supportive from a, you know, hepatic or from a liver perspective? Are there foods we can eat that help the liver? And so what would be examples of that?
So foods that can support detoxification and liver health would be things like garlic and onions, quinoa, broccoli, kale, cauliflower, cabbage, all of those types of things.
Okay. And I remember
beets,
some root
carrots,
vegetables. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I thought turnips are higher. Did you say turnips?
No, but they're in that family of broccoli, so that makes sense.
Okay. And then I feel like we're leaving something out, but maybe not. Maybe it'll come. But the root vegetables and then some of the other vegetables you mentioned can help with liver function. Probably things that you take away might be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So alcohol would be good to avoid. Chemical exposures.
Mm-hmm.
So what would be examples of that?
It depends on what your work exposures may be. Perhaps you, paint or use...
I'm a doctor.
Varnishing. Oh, well.
Do I have any exposures?
I hope you have healthy cleaning products in your office, which we do.
Oh, we do. Yeah, because you took care of that, fortunately. Yep.
What's your office, you know, like? Do you have new carpet in there? Do you have ventilation in there that if you do have new carpet, the off-gassing, you know, that's a burden on your liver? So if you don't have good air quality in your office, that can make a difference.
Okay. What about with the machines like printers and, you know, the computer? Are those exposures that can potentially be an issue with the liver? And
yes.
If so, then what do we do about them?
There are certain filters that you can buy to put near the device to help clean the air.
Okay.
And then there are different natural medicines that can help promote your liver pathway to get rid of those things.
Okay. Is proximity to the device an issue? So if we're making copies, mm-hmm. is standing away help? Or, you know, because
yep.
you always see the, you know, people in the office.
Waiting.
Yeah, standing waiting right the by the, exactly, standing
smelling
right by.
Smelling it as it smelling goes it. By, yes.
Yep. So don't stand next to the copy machine. Once you set it up, step away, let it do its thing, then go back and pick up your mm-hmm. copies.
Okay. Even when you pump your gas, this is what I do, you mm-hmm. put the little thing on that keeps it pumping, and mm-hmm. then you step back about 2 feet and step over so you're not inhaling the gasoline the entire time.
Right. That's kind of scary, too, because as soon as you inhale it, it's in your bloodstream. Mm-hmm. It's that fast. Mm-hmm. So I actually just go back and sit in the car.
Oh, you're one of those people that wants to try to just catch yourself on fire.
Is that what it is? Oh, uh-huh. Well.
That rare thing where you build up a static electricity shock and open then, the door and.
And then there's a big, huge mm-hmm. explosion.
So just don't talk on your cell phone and smoke a cigarette while you do it, too, and you should be okay.
I thought there was a study about that one, though. I thought we looked into that, and it really wasn't a common issue.
No, they have. Well, it's not a common issue, but they have stickers that warn you about such things on the gasoline pumps.
Don't talk on your cell phone while you're pumping gas.
Yeah, don't get back into your car, and don't smoke while you're pumping gas.
Oh, I didn't know that you weren't supposed to. I guess that shows how well I read, you know. I've got more than one degree, and I still can't read the sign on the gas pump.
Well, you're in your car. I'm standing yeah. away from it looking at
you're
it.
Reading around. You're looking around reading the signs, you know, save 5%. I've seen that one.
Let's go to our first caller. We have Eric and Everett. Hi, Eric. How can we help you today?
Well, hi.
Hi.
Hi. My question is about my turning 50 this year, and I've heard that men turning 50 start having chemical changes that could affect sexual performance, and I was wondering from a naturopathic point of view, are there supplements or certain dietary things that could help prevent that?
Yes.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, thanks. That's all.
Well, so there definitely are, and you know, probably the biggest change that happens as we get older from a gentleman's perspective is our testosterone level drops down. And, you know, other things that can happen is, you know, chronic stress can produce a gradually diminishing adrenal activity. And that doesn't happen in everybody, depending on what your stress level is. So there can be hormonal changes. I'd say the most common one, and all of them can you can intervene and try and promote normal hormonal activity with plant medicines or nutritional supplements or a combination, or use the actual hormones. And you know, with things like failure of adrenal reserve, I find that plant medicines are very effective. There's no reason to jump to hormone therapy with something like that, and often labs will come back normal. With something like testosterone deficiency, Eric, there's a couple of plants that have been shown to perhaps increase testosterone level. Ashwagandha is one of them. It's an Indian herb and you know, readily available in the country. If that's inadequate, then usually we talk with our patients about the different forms of testosterone therapy, and it really can make a huge difference. The first thing you need to do is to get tested. And you know, I can't remember if we mentioned this on an earlier show, but we have a little questionnaire about you know, that lists questions that would be linked to symptoms of testosterone deficiency. And if there's several yes answers on that form, then it makes sense to be tested. So, you know, low motivation and depression and, you know, sexual dysfunction,
fatigue.
Exactly. You know, decreased tolerance to your environment, you know, if you're more reactive, and, you know, just a decreased tolerance to mm-hmm. physical stress, too, can all be signs of testosterone deficiency. And, you know, we're offering that test to our patients, and, you know, we're finding that there's more of it than we had initially thought.
And sometimes you can use like a pro-hormone that can help you to make the hormone that's not an herb either, mm-hmm. and it's not testosterone, to help balance out hormones. It just depends on the person.
Like what?
Like DHEA.
Yeah. It's okay to say it.
Yeah.
I felt like you didn't want to say that. But the other thing about DHEA is it could convert to estrogen. So
right, and that's why
I always
you
get
use
nervous
it,
with that one.
You use it in a male that's not overweight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, first thing is to you know, talk to your doctor about some of those. I mean, I guess we should just ask you right now, you know, do you have any of those symptoms? And I'll just list them again. Either, you know, problems with sexual performance. Maybe your body's not as able physically to handle the stresses, or maybe your ability to tolerate stresses, you know, mentally is less than what it used to be, or your energy's down, or you might have some motivational issues or depression issues. So are any of those symptoms things that you've been experiencing since you turned 50?
Not really, but I do fall under the category of being having a high level of stress.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Can caffeine or alcohol be a contributor to these things as well?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it can. So I wouldn't necessarily jump to testosterone testing with you. It sounds like, you know, if you're under a high stress environment, or it's been, you know, moderate stress for a long period of time, and you do consume caffeine, then that does have a long-term depleting effect. Even though it can help for the short term, over the long term, that actually has a depleting effect on your ability to handle chronic stress. So, you know, it could be something as simple as cutting out caffeine, maybe using some herbs that are tonifying, like, you know, is done in other cultures, like, you know, ginseng and ashwagandha, and maybe some licorice. But and these aren't prescriptions for you, Eric. These are just, you know, ideas that, you know, you should talk to your doctor about. And then, you know, seeing how you respond. And, you know, unless there's some real strong interferences with your life, I think that's probably how I'd approach it if you were a patient.
Okay, you did mention a questionnaire that you would have people take to see if they fall into a category that they might want to be tested.
Definitely, yeah, yeah. What we can do is, at the end of the show, I'll give you the email address right now, and you can shoot us an email, and then I'll email you back with the questionnaire, and you can look through that, share it with your doctor, or you know, if you have any additional questions, just ask us about that. So are you a place where you can write, or are you driving?
No, I'm in a place where I can write.
Okay. So email info@ncoh.net. info@ncoh.net, and that comes into the general clinic mailbox, and just say, you know, I'd like the questionnaire on testosterone deficiency, and we'll email that back to you, and then just fill it out, and that way you can get a sense of if that's, you know, that's an issue for you. And I'm glad you brought the topic up, because it seems like it's becoming more and more prevalent in my patients asking about that. And when I hand them that questionnaire, they fill it out, and they've got all these yes answers where I wouldn't have thought they did.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your time. I love your show.
Thanks. Eric. We appreciate your comments. You take care.
Call us back anytime. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, it looks like we got to take a station break here for traffic and weather for those of us that are on the road. Please stay tuned. The doctors will be back after Ed's announcements.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Dr. Stacy Wells.
I'm Dr. Castor Pornadelli.
And you are here with us live, as we are nearly every Thursday, from 4 to 5, right on KSCR-FM 90.7, your listener-supported independent radio station. And we are taking your health questions today. Those that you forgot to ask your very own doctor, a concern you have about a loved one, or maybe the question the person in your office is bugging you about their health with. So now's the time to get that question answered by picking up the phone and calling 425-303-9070.
425-303-9070.
And you can always send your questions through email as well to doctors, all spelled out, at kser.org.
doctors@kser.org is that email address during the program. And if you are joining us for the first time, you should know that we're naturopathic physicians. And what that means here in Washington is, first and foremost, we practice as physicians. We have training in the basic science, basic sciences including anatomy and physiology and biochemistry and pharmacology and physical exam and clinical lab, just like every physician. But as naturopathic doctors, we're a little different in that we have additional training in things like herbal medicine, nutrition, counseling, homeopathy, and physical medicine. So it allows us to take a different perspective on your question or address a patient with some options that we might not otherwise have for them. We do prescribe medications like other physicians, but we like to try and avoid them when possible, like to address the cause of disease and remove obstacles to cure when we can. And we have a little different philosophy along those lines. Dr. Wells?
Yeah, we sure do. We tend to look at you more from a whole person perspective. So we look at things like your diet, lifestyle, environmental influences, and how those things are affecting your health. We do try to find the cause of your problem when possible and not just treat your symptoms. We focus on keeping you healthy long term, so prevention is a goal. And then we like to spend a lot of time educating you so that you can become more active and involved in your own healthcare. And that's part of what we're doing here today and every Thursday is educating you on health.
Definitely. So we got more headlines here that we should go to while we're waiting for that next caller to come through. So interesting. So this is from the Los Angeles Times, Dr. Wells. Battle lines solidify over bid to distinguish food, supplements. So... it looks like. So here's the excerpt. Lazy Larry dietary supplements look and taste like fudge brownies.
Lazy Larry dietary supplements.
Apparently, they're such a brand. They contain some of the same ingredients, including flour, trans fats. Well, we don't like that, do we?
No.
Sugar and oil. Until recently, they could be found among the snack foods in convenience stores. But the brown, quote, relaxation treats contain melatonin,
ooh,
a neurohormone often used as a sleep aid. There is no safety data on its use in conventional foods, but animal studies on melatonin have raised red flags over potential adverse effects, including blood glucose problems and cardiovascular, eye, and reproductive issues. Well, that sounds kind of one-sided. Who in the world wrote this? Julie Dierdoff, Tribune reporter. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Where did Julie get her information?
Probably from under a rock. Citing health risks from products that blur the line between supplements from foods and beverages, lawmakers are pushing for tighter regulation of vitamins, herbs, weight loss products, and other dietary supplements. The U.S. is also overwhelmed by potentially dangerous imported ingredients from Asia, said Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois, who recently introduced the Dietary Supplement Labeling Act of 2011, which would increase labeling requirements and require companies to register their products. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has neither the power nor the resources to monitor what's going on in the industry, close quote, he said in an interview. Well, you know, I think we're in agreement that there needs to be better product regulation, because mm-hmm. when someone buys something off the shelf, it could be contained with toxins. It could be completely falsely labeled,
mm-hmm.
and there's no way for the consumer, unsuspecting consumer, to know the difference.
No,
and it's a real problem. But, you know, by the same token, if you buy a food and it has an ingredient list, it's the same situation.
Mm-hmm.
That ingredient list may be wrong.
Right.
And, you know, it's not supposed to be poisonous.
No.
You know? But the issue is there are those problems with the supplement industry. And this author of this article, cites some products from Asia. But really, there's issues from products from India as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a matter of testing and testing again and testing again, which some manufacturers do and others don't. And it's almost a matter of learning about, if you're participating in this, you have to learn the way to find good products.
Right.
And we've talked about this time and again, and we have an article on our website that. Listeners can find, and we'll give, mm-hmm. by simply doing a search under vitamin supplements and read the information about testing and how to query companies about their level of testing so that you understand whether there's safety in the mm-hmm. products that you're buying.
And it's almost as if there should be more concern that there's trans fats in the brownies than there's melatonin in the brownies.
Yeah, I would bet that the melatonin, once you mix it with some of those other ingredients, is probably completely inactivated. Yeah, it's kind of like vitamin water. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of a joke.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like you're doing something that actually makes a difference, but really it doesn't.
But it's better than buying your child a soda.
What, the vitamin water?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would say if it doesn't have artificial colors in it.
Right, it doesn't.
It doesn't? Have you looked?
It depends on what brand you buy.
Ed, it sounds like somebody's been buying vitamin water here in the room.
Depends on what brand you buy, though.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure it does. 425-303-9070 is the phone number if you have a comment or question for the doctors.
That's 425-303-9070. But really, I think we've brought up another good point here about nutrition is really, you know, not only reading labels of dietary supplements, but reading labels of foods that you're buying. Figuring out what is in that product that's in the box or the bag, and is it really a good ingredient for you, or is it contributing to obesity or heart disease?
Hmm. That's a good point. Yeah. You know, one of the things that we promised to do in this show is talk a little bit about foods and their effects on risk of diabetes and high blood pressure. Mm-hmm. So, Ed, did we talk about walnuts and olive oil last week?
You did not.
Oh, good. Well,
I loved her with Popeye.
Oh, did you? Olive oil? So we're going to – so essentially, one of the things that I wanted to bring up was a study that was published in 2006 in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology. This compared 25 grams of olive oil, which is just under an ounce of olive oil, to 40 grams of walnuts on something called flow-mediated dilation. And so follow me, ladies and gentlemen. Flow-mediated dilation is what the body does in response to needing more blood flow to an area. So if you have high blood pressure and you need better blood flow in an area, the blood vessels expand or dilate, and you get better flow to an area, and blood pressure in turn, you know, actually goes down a little bit. And so what this study was is in people, so they either gave them olive oil or they gave them walnuts, and they measured this thing called flow-mediated dilation, how well the blood vessels relax. Then they also measured something called cytokines, and cytokines are parts of the inflammatory reaction that happen in the body when our body is going after something to kill it. But the problem, too, with cytokines, so that's the good part of cytokines. The bad part is if they're kind of running rampant, then they cause inflammation, destruction, and early disease.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do you think worked better in, you know, because if one of them helped flow-mediated dilation or reduce cytokine levels, and you know, that would be a good thing for blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So which one do you think did better?
Walnuts.
Walnuts? Ed, what do you think?
Well, since I know this show.
Well, you know.
What was that answer?
You know, Ed was being Ed. He was being Ed. So, you know, I actually thought it would be about the same, but it turns out that walnuts were superior.
Gee, I never would have guessed.
Never would have guessed that one. Well, olive oil is a good thing too. If you look at a lot of the research, diet rich in olive oil actually can lower blood pressure.
Mediterranean diet,
right? It's called the Mediterranean diet, and it can lower risk of heart disease and heart attack and stroke. So we know that olive oil has an impact. But so in this research project, so olive oil, even though we know it has effects, walnuts were superior. They improved flow-mediated dilation considerably, so they allowed the blood vessels to relax better. They reduced cytokines, and which lowers inflammation. And both olive oil and the walnuts actually reduced adhesion, and meaning when platelets stick together and the things that cause clots and heart attacks, both olive oil and the walnuts did a good job. So if you're going to eat a bunch of junk food, have a handful of walnuts first is the take-home message. But what do you want to add to that? Dr. Wells is giving me a dirty look, Ed.
No, I was going to say chocolate-covered walnuts.
Chocolate-covered walnuts? I thought you were going to say don't eat the junk food to begin with. Well, yeah, chocolate-covered walnuts for some of us, I guess. You know, certainly chocolate's been shown to lower blood pressure, too. You have to have a lot of it to do that, and it doesn't lower blood pressure a lot. So sorry, ladies and gentlemen, it's not the best thing to do. If you're going to eat chocolate, have dark chocolate, but you have to make sure you're not a diabetic, you know, or not on the road to diabetes, because that's certainly not a good approach. So if you have a comment about walnuts, olive oil, or chocolate, we want to hear from you too. 425-303-9070.
425-303-9070.
And you can also ask a question, but I think we're supposed to take another station break here for traffic and weather. So here's Ed with that. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Dr. Castor Pornadelli.
And I'm Dr. Stacy Wells.
And you're listening to The Doctors, as we are every Thursday on Sound Living from 4 to 5 on KSCR. You know, I think we're having the pledge drive. Is that next week, Ed, or the following week?
It starts the 7th.
Oh, okay. So
I don't, the 7th.
It won't, we'll miss it by one day.
Okay, yep.
But fear not. You will get one day.
We'll get the following week. Good. We'll get the 14th. We'll get the 13th, yes. Then is when we'll be on for that one.
So, but they're always welcome to pledge early.
They can pledge early. We pledge. Yeah, exactly. But you know,
pledge early and pledge often.
Pledge often, exactly. That's what I was trying to remember. So we've got a bunch more headlines here. We've got new evidence for an apple a day. We've got cholesterol deposits around the eyes, and lawsuits targeting the statement "quote all natural" on food products. That sounds good.
Wonder what that could be targeting.
So from ice cream to salad dressing and potato chips to pet food, health-conscious grocery shoppers can choose a, quote, all-natural version of just about anything. So since an official definition of natural doesn't exist, recent spate of consumer lawsuits allege that food companies are playing fast and loose with the, quote, all-natural designation, effectively committing fraud. Ribbit. Fraud against the shopping public.
Because they can't read the label?
Well, but you know, it's true.
No, it is true.
People
it's
don't
true.
Know what that means. They don't know to read the label. They you know, it's training it's education that maybe they had in fourth grade.
If then.
If even then. And so they go out and, sure, you know. That's what I would look for an all-natural box when I, you know, before I'd gone to school. You know, it made sense because you want to do something good.
Well, just buying some popsicles this summer, there's all-natural by the same company, and then there's real fruit by the same company. Mm-hmm. But if you read the ingredients, the ones that were all-natural were truly all-natural. No preservatives, no fake dyes to make the colors, you know. And then when you read the real fruit, there's sugar added, there's all sorts of preservative and red dye and blue dye. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, it's real fruit, but you've got these other things. So if you didn't know, you'd think, oh, it's real fruit. Okay, you know, pick it up and go.
Right. That makes sense. You know, it's funny because this comes up a lot on the show, and I think one of the easiest things to do is if you're buying up something out of a box or a bag, look at the ingredient list, and if there's things on there that you don't identify, then you shouldn't be eating that.
Right.
If you don't know what it is, you shouldn't be eating it. It's probably that simple.
Yes.
Yeah. And I guess if you're a scientist and create that and you know what it is, then eat your own stuff. You know, that's probably good for you. So, all natural. I think we do need some lawsuits with that. Mm-hmm. You know, that labeling needs to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or there needs to be some criteria for what they can use it for.
So, are we the all natural doctors?
Yes. No.
I think I don't know. It could be argued because we prescribe drugs. So, you know, so then what level, where does it begin and end?
Mm-hmm.
At what point do we put the conventional hat on, you know, and take the other hat off?
Let's go to our next caller. We have Mordecai from Everett. Hi, Mordecai. How can we help you today?
Hi. I'm really enjoying your show.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, doctors. I was wondering if there are any factual evidence that there was in the 30s or 40s sometime a cure for cancer that was, yelled at all the headlines and everything, and turns out that Dr. Royal Rife had a kind of a special microscope. Have you heard of any of that? And then it was kind of like hushed up because the story is that, well, if there's a cheap cure for cancer, then what's the, Medical Association, the AMA, you know, how is it going to make a profit? So do you know anything about that? Do you have any thoughts about that? Or is this just a conspiracy theory?
Yeah, you know, I think I've heard that before, and you know, there's a lot of stuff like this out. There's a lot of stories like this, and it's hard to know which has any real basis and which is just a conspiracy theory. And, you know, the thing about all of the theories that, you know, I mean, no one in medicine wants to squash what's of benefit. And, you know, I say that with some looseness because, you know, there's always people who have specific beliefs, you know, that are really that influence their judgment. But, sure. You know, when you look at claims of cure for cancer, you know, cancer is not one simple thing that goes awry that can be intervened with one simple treatment. And, you know, so I don't think that that's based on my current level of knowledge that that makes sense, that, you know, mm-hmm. there was a cure and it was squashed. And, you know, when you see these claims of cure, there's usually stories of people who were cured. There's a claim that there's, you know, an overarching body that's trying to suppress this evidence. And, you know, like the FDA or the medical association or someone's trying to suppress this information because it would hurt economically. And and there's usually a cost associated with it. And, you know, when you put all those things together, the person that wants to buy into that the most is somebody who is really in need and desperate and is ready to do anything to try and get benefit. And, you know, I'll be the first to admit, as a physician, I certainly don't know everything about healthcare or cancer therapy. I mean, any physician who you know is practiced and is being honest will tell you that. But you really have to use caution with some of the things that you identify. And
I have another question. My wife had a pseudotumor behind her left eye,
mm-hmm.
and she went to a specialist, and he wanted to do a biopsy, and then. He's a plastic surgeon.
Yeah.
I was surprised why she was sent to a plastic surgeon. Turns out our chiropractor just made a few minor adjustments, and she's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not out of commission for weeks because of the biopsy.
Mm-hmm.
She's not paying a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of simple solutions out there that are getting shoved to the side, possibly because the mucky mucks who know everything and run everything just want to do it their way.
Yeah, well, maybe
they really believe it. I mean, maybe the earth really is flat.
Well, you know, I think we learn. You know, we do learn new things every day and every year. And you know, I have to agree with you on some levels that, you know, sometimes when we jump the gun and we go really full force with high-tech therapies, and all doctors who practice medicine do that at some point. It doesn't matter whether you're a naturopath, chiropractor, or physician. Sometimes we go to a real high intervention when, you know, sometimes a simple treatment might work. I remember a patient of mine who was hospitalized and she was telling me the story of how, you know, she was constipated and everybody was trying to figure out what drug to give her. And she said, well, why don't you just have the cafeteria send me some prunes and let's try that first. And, you know, that worked. And everybody was all disappointed and they felt like idiots. And you know, there's something to be said for very basic conscientious self-care. And, you know, it's hard to know whether with your wife, you know, that was the best treatment for her or not, but it sounds like that, you know, based on what you're saying, it was okay.
Well, gee, I want to thank you for your time, doctors. I just wanted to, you know, just weigh in a little and see what other people might think about, you know, the possibility of doing things a little better and cheaper and smarter.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're totally, I mean, capitalism on steroids is what we are on, you know, greed, and we are a little bit off center.
Yeah. Well, we really appreciate your call too, and for
sure.
Kind of sharing some of your story with us.
Okay, dude. Thanks.
Thank
Take
you.
Care.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Yeah, well, you know, it's. I think he makes a good point. We just have to always think of fundamentals, too, even though we, you know, it's appropriate at times to be aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
So I see you looking at your screen there intently. We have a call-in question
that Ed put over the screen. The caller says, what's the fastest way to improve the blood count? He's anemic and wants to resume riding his bicycle. Depends on the,
what do you think? Yeah, it depends on the cause.
Depends on the cause.
Right. If you're bleeding, stop the bleeding. Right.
If you're deficient in a vitamin such as iron, B12, or folate, replete that vitamin.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on a drug that's causing deplete counts, then there are different things that you
find alternatives, perhaps. Right.
And that we're not going to give out any recommendations because it depends on the drug.
Yeah, it kind of depends on the drug, right? And you know, sometimes if somebody is deficient, so they have, let's say that he's just iron deficient or B12 folic acid deficient, it could be that he's not absorbing it, and taking it by mouth may not be enough. He might need it injected.
Right.
And so, you know, if you're anemic, your doctor should give you those options.
And there could be an underlying GI disease, gastrointestinal disease, like a bleeding ulcer, H. pylori infection, celiac disease, or even a cancer.
Yeah, celiac sounds scary. but it's not necessarily scary, but there are things that could be causing that. The key is to figure out the cause. Versus just take the supplements that you know might build your levels up temporarily. So yeah, we want you biking. Good.
Mm-hmm.
We want you better fast so you can go back to biking. So look, we got another headline here. So early risers may be thinner, happier, less likely to be depressed, stressed, and overweight. This is from where is this? The New York Daily News. So a new study finds that people who get out of bed by 7 a.m. on average do better in the workplace and have a lower chance of being depressed, stressed, and overweight. Morning people tend to be healthier. I'm not a morning person, but I get up that early.
I know. That's what I was thinking.
Healthier and happier, as well as having low body mass indices. A researcher, Dr. Jorg Huber of Roehampton University in London, said in a British Psychological Society conference.
You sound Irish.
Yeah. Well, I tried. According, that was my English accent. Sounded Irish, sorry. Be careful, you might get shot saying something like that. According to the UK's Telegraph last week. So Ed's a early morning riser too, I think.
Mm-hmm. I'm up by 6.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So you used to do the early morning program. And do you go to sleep early too to get up that early, Ed?
No, I go to bed 10:30, 11 o'clock.
Okay.
Stay up reading till 1, 2, whatever.
Yeah. Do you really even that late?
Yeah.
And do you find that you need less sleep? Yeah, that's what happens.
No. I don't. I don't. I find that I need the sleep that I get.
Well, that's good. Excellent. Okay. And that's actually, I think Ed was giving advice today, right now, with that statement. And you know,
I'm not a doctor, but I play one on radio.
Well, I think you do a good one. Look at that. We're almost out of time again. How'd that happen? We got other headlines. We got more to talk about. Well, it'll just have to wait till next week.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have questions for us between shows, you can send us an email by clicking on the email link on our clinic website. It's also a site you can read articles on testosterone therapy, on liver function, on fasting, on vitamin quality, a variety of things that we've talked about today. By clicking on the search bar and typing your query and finding information. That web address is ncoh.net, N for Northwest, C for Center, O for Optimal, H for Health, ncoh.net.
If you'd like to reach our office in between shows, you can do so by calling 360-651-9355. That's 360-651-WELL.
Well, did we have fun?
Absolutely.
Did we learn something?
Oh, yes.
I certainly did. And did we help somebody?
I think so.
I think we did too. Well, we hope you had fun, ladies and gentlemen. Until next week, we'd like to remind you to tell your family and friends that the doctors are in.
Every Thursday, right here on KSCR Everett FM 90.7.
Independent, listener-supported public radio.
Join us again next week when we'll continue taking your calls and answering your questions.
Until then, be well.